Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about The Power of the Downstate by Sarah C. Mednick. Sophie, I have to ask, what's your first instinct when someone tells you to just rest?
Honestly, I feel a little guilty, like I should be doing something useful. But this book made me rethink that completely. Mednick argues that we're all stuck in this upstate of constant alertness and productivity, and we've forgotten how to genuinely switch off.
Right. And that upstate is celebrated. We wear our busyness like a badge of honor, you know? But she says it's a trap, that we're running on a biological deficit.
Exactly. She introduces this idea of the downstate, which is not just crashing on the couch. It's an active state of restoration where our parasympathetic nervous system takes over. That's the rest and digest mode, as opposed to fight or flight.
So it's not passive. It's like a different kind of work that our body needs to do.
Precisely. And the cool part is that there are these four distinct flavors of downstate: sleep, daydreaming, relaxation, and end play. Each one has a unique job, and we need all of them.
Okay, so let's start with sleep, which feels like the most obvious one. We all know we need it, but she goes deeper, right?
Oh, totally. She explains that during deep sleep, the brain's glymphatic system kicks in and actually flushes out toxic waste products. It's like a cleaning crew that's 10 times more active when we're in that restorative state.
So when we skimp on sleep, we're basically letting our brains stew in their own garbage. That's a vivid image. And it's not just about the quantity of sleep, but the quality, the different stages.
Right. Non-REM sleep, especially slow wave, is for physical restoration. That's when growth hormone is released and tissues repair. Then REM sleep is like the brain's theater for processing emotions and integrating memories.
So a good night's sleep can actually change how you feel about a stressful event, because the brain is processing it during REM.
Exactly. That's why you wake up and something that felt huge the night before doesn't seem so bad. But here's the thing. Daydreaming is just as important, and we're terrible at it now.
Because we're always on our phones. Every spare second is filled with input.
Yes, and that kills the default mode network, which is the part of the brain that gets active when we let our minds wander. That's where creativity and sudden insights come from.
So staring out the window isn't a waste of time. It's actually essential for connecting ideas and having those aha moments.
Exactly. She calls it constructive daydreaming, and it's different from rumination, which is just looping on your worries. This is a positive, free-floating state.
Okay, so what about relaxation? That feels a bit more structured, like meditation or deep breathing.
Right, those are intentional practices that trigger the parasympathetic system. And the evidence shows they can actually rewire your brain, increasing gray matter in areas for emotional regulation and shrinking the amygdala, which is the fear center.
Wow. So it's not just about feeling calm in the moment. It's literally building a calmer baseline.
Precisely. And then there's play, which is the downstate in motion. It's about spontaneity and joy, being fully absorbed in something for its own sake, without any goal.
Like dancing in your kitchen or playing a pickup game of basketball. That kind of thing.
Yes, and it's crucial for social bonding and cognitive flexibility. When we lose play, we become more rigid and stressed.
So Mednick says we need to pulse between upstate and downstate, like working in 90-minute cycles that match our body's natural rhythms.
Yes, it's called pulsing. Instead of working for 4 hours straight and then collapsing, you work in focus bursts and then deliberately take a break to let your mind drift.
So it's like the Pomodoro technique, but grounded in biology. And the book frames all this as a way to avoid allostatic load, which is that cumulative wear and tear from chronic stress.
Right, it's like running up a biological credit card. We need the downstate to make payments, or the interest builds up into burnout and illness.
That makes so much sense. The part that really got me was when she reframed willpower. We think pushing through fatigue is strength, but really, the strength is in recognizing you need to rest.
Exactly. It takes discipline to step away, especially when everything in our culture tells us to keep going.
So what does she suggest we actually do? I mean, beyond the big categories, how do we start building this into our day?
She suggests starting with an audit. Look at your life and ask, am I getting enough of each pillar? Maybe you sleep fine but never daydream. Or you're physically relaxed but mentally scrolling, which is actually an upstate activity.
Ah, so zoning out on social media doesn't count as rest at all. That's a hard truth.
It is. Then she recommends scheduling white space into your day. Time with no agenda, no phone. Just a walk or sitting in a park. And for relaxation, even 5 minutes of focused breathing can be a reset button. And for play, rediscover something that brings you pure joy and protect it.
I actually tried a tiny version of this after reading. I took a walk without my phone, and I had a genuinely new idea that I'm going to use. It felt almost too easy.
That's the paradox, right? The most productive thing you can do sometimes is nothing at all. And that's the message that stuck with me. The power was never in the push, it was always in the pause.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I think we're both taking away the permission to rest guilt-free. And if you want to dive deeper into these ideas, the full library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. They've got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's only $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
And that's the real takeaway. Rest isn't a reward for doing everything. It's the foundation that makes everything possible. We'll see you in the next one.